Hello, and this is Bea from Gamers Illogical, and we're here with another Forgotten Fantasy podcast. Today we're going to continue the saga with Part 2, Chapter 1, where Tanshi meets Anne, and we'll see what happens next. Okay? I hope you enjoy it.
Part 2. During that time, these men will seek death, but they will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Revelations 9:6. Chapter 1. Anne found it hard to breathe. The corset clutched her ribs. The underwire chafed her full breasts. She stared at herself in the store mirror. The hem and several bottom centimeters of the full skirt bunched over the floor. Stupid dress. She would have to wear those high platform heels. She'd trip as soon as walk in this. Goes well with your red hair, especially if you get rid of your braids and let it hang loose, Gray said from the chair beside the mirror. He crossed his legs, which were clad, naturally, in the latest black stovepipe pants. You look fabulous in that green velvet. Anne put her hands on her hips. I hurt from my waist up, and I get enough stares at my boobs without them almost popping out. All my freckles stand out. You can't wear an overall to the wedding, Andre said. Anne sighed. I knew that when I said I'd be a witness for you and John. Just not in this. She stumbled back into the dressing room, yanked off the dress, and pulled on her plain long-sleeved T-shirt and yellow overall. Anne rubbed at an engine oil stain on the overall bib, but it only made it worse. She shrugged and exited the room. I've had it, she said. It's Halloween tomorrow. I haven't even got a pumpkin yet. Andre rolled his eyes. The wedding's the day after tomorrow. I told you I'd get something, and I will, Anne said. I've had enough of this crap today. No need to get testy. Andre stood up and smoothed down his red silk shirt. He looked down through his designer sunglasses and took a moment to admire his art fiber belt. We'll try again tomorrow. I'll try again tomorrow. On my own. They walked out of the store into the spaceship mall. Anne glanced around. Why had the new decorators decided that painting the roof girders in neon colors would make the place attractive? The bobbing and turning holographic signs above the storefronts, the flow of brightly dressed people reflected in the new mirrored floors, gave her a headache. The old brown and white paint with faded gold stars, the tatty beige carpets had made the place seem homey. So the economy picked up. Things shouldn't change just for fashion. Anne frowned. Something Andre should think about. He was so shallow. At the end of the indoor boulevard, the mall opened onto Station Square, with its artificial garden and benches. Across the quadrangle, a crowd had gathered around Speaker's Corner. A march preacher, flanked by his followers, railed against the sinners who encouraged unnatural relations between men. Anne saw a few people from her church in the crowd. It hurt, this hate against her brother John. These last 2 years, he was so happy with Andre, after being sad for so long. If not for Mother Mary, the priest, Anne would have left St. Michael's in the Stars. A few station police sauntered into the square and positioned themselves at strategic points. The media arrived with their handhelds, and the march took advantage of the exposure. They bounced their signs up and down, shouting, Amen! And Hallelujah! The usual slogans shouted from the signs. Babylon, repent your evil ways. Sinners burn in hell. The demons will suck out your soul. Other signs said, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Dracula. No sodomy, no bestiality. No bestiality, Anne said, offended. She glanced at Andre and found him looking amused. Of course he considered most humans unintelligent barbarians, not worth his time. A group of Menendek military, large and formidable in their white dress uniforms, entered the square from the direction of arrivals. Unlike the myths of dead white vampires, their skin came in various normal hues, though none of them looked like they'd been out in the sun. No different than anyone who worked in space. Their wraparound sunglasses reminded her of gangsters or terrorists. Several wore square badges of various colors across their left breasts, signifying their bravery medals from the war. But the majority wore the single round white badge of the Devil's Death Squad. The reason for the latest march demonstration became clear. The Mephisto, the first Menendek warship to enter Peace Alliance territory, had arrived. Alliance ships had escorted it, and the soldiers were only staying a few days, but the whole diplomatic venture had occupied talk shows for days. John walked with the soldiers, as large and formidable as the vampires. She noticed that the barber had cut and tamed his blonde curls. John would look tidy for the wedding. That would please Andre. John noticed them and waved. The preacher fell silent, and his crowd pivoted to stare at the soldiers. The military marched and stopped in front of Andre. The soldiers touched their heads, hearts, and throats. They clicked their heels together and saluted. All of them knelt and bowed their heads. J. Gritpayan, Andre said. He salaamed, and motioned them to pass. A tall, striking female vampire nodded to the soldiers. They rose, snapping to attention. J. Gritpayan, Andre, de Ken Vershantu, the woman said with a salaam. Kurin Gensu, Andre gestured. Anne de Clan Turberville, Clover Pima. He gestured towards the woman. Miss Anne Turberville, General Kurin. J. Gritpay, Kurin Gensu, Anne said. J. Gritpay, General said. They both salaam. J. Gritpay, Andre said with a huge grin. Jane Genka Santru. Jane Grit paid a frisky, the soldier left of the general said. The two men embraced. They chatted in Menendez. Andre's older brother, the March's devil, come for the wedding, John said. Two family members as witnesses. He gave her a rueful smile. Anne felt angry all over it again at her mother for refusing to make the short shuttle trip up from planet Ganymede below. That's great, she said. Andre turned to him, his eyes sparkling. We're going to have a military honor guard leaving the civic wedding chapel. Yeah, John said. Oh, wow, thanks. You're welcome, sir, Andre's brother said in a thin-song accent. Tanchi, this is John's sister Anne, Andre said. Anne, this is Genko Sunku Tanchi, the Jiaohao. Jiaohao Nan, I'm Sura Peinang Khan, Tanchi said with a salaam in the back. Andre Kun calls me by my last name, not correct. Andre frowned. No. Hey, Tanchi. His brother shrugged. Anyway, Tanchi's the new captain of the garrison for the colony on the just-discovered planet Revenant. Andre grinned. Menendez can go out in the sun on Revenant. He's invited us to honeymoon there since we're giving him a lift. You're coming too, sis, John said. Thanks, Anne said sarcastically. Since I'd be homeless without my ship, I'll try not to cramp your style. Tanchi nodded towards the soldier beside him. Nuke Ken of Mephisto. Captain Nu bowed. He lowered his sunglasses a fraction and sent Anne a wink. Anne narrowed her eyes. Why did soldiers think they were such hot stuff? Kova Peinang, Kuf Rishfur, Tanchi said to Captain Nu. Ha! The captain said. The translation is, first spurts of blood when talking to the first light human woman, Andre said with a smirk. He pulled one of Anne's red beads. Captain New agrees. Anne remembered the taunts in school and the teasing in the military. She scowled and crossed her arms over her breast. Thanks a bunch. You've been given a great compliment. Red hair is rare and a sign of great beauty among the dead, especially if it's a woman, Andre said. The regent has red hair. Yeah, whatever. She blushed from her forehead, down her neck, and over her mercifully covered chest. Slight smiles appeared on the faces of several of the soldiers, though not that of Andre's brother. Then, she sighed, swearing in her thoughts, another sin for confession. Across the square, the preacher started up again. He pointed at the soldiers. What corruption and bribery, what blindness have brought an army of demons to this station? His flock roared in agreement. The space station police moved themselves between the vampires and the march. They're afraid Menendez might join the Alliance, John said. That'll never happen, Andre said. The Alliance is happiest when the March are busy fighting us. Keeps them out of their hair. Pretty short-sighted, Anne said. What about the present peace? The March aren't eating all that Lido they buy. They scare me. Nothing lasts forever, sweetie, Andre said. We should head back to the Demeter, John said. I need to buy a pumpkin. A bunch of stupid fundamentalists aren't going to stop me, Anne said. You have to pass by them to get to the market, John said. Tanchi pivoted and barked a few orders at the soldiers. They relaxed and began to chat to each other, most of them melting away down the halls, the stores, and, if Anne suspected, the bars, until only Tanchi, Captain Nu, General Curran, and a soldier with a duffel bag we need. One of the station cops nodded thanks at Andre. We need to get to the market, Constable, John called to him. A bodyguard of police, Vampire military, John and Andre, escorted Anne across the square. She felt like a queen or a VIP. Anne resisted the urge to give the march a one-finger salute. Euphemia Krapik from church frowned as she passed by. Many have discovered to their everlasting pain that it's not enough to just go to church, Euphemia said. Anne gave in and held up her middle finger. She felt guilty, but only a bit. Should have turned the other cheek. Anne and her escorts marched to the market where the police left them. Buying a Halloween pumpkin in company of vampires caused a lot of nudges and whispers in the store. Anne kept her head high. The crowd of march had dispersed by the time they crossed the square again, on their way to the spaceship Demeter. The vampires passed through Demeter's airlock and removed their sunglasses in the dim hall beyond. Anne's eyes slowly adjusted to the gloom. John thought the lower light romantic. Andre refused to squint. She would never get used to it. She used a small gooseneck lamp to chop vegetables, sew, or create crafts, any close work. Hi, Demeter said. Vampires, great! Party, party! Andre introduced the visitors. Captain Tonchi raised an eyebrow and asked something in an Inuit. He's asking if introducing a ship is a human custom, Demeter said softly from a nearby speaker. Andre laughed. Anne thinks the ship's alive. We humor her. A civilian ship needs to match names and faces, Anne said with a glare at Andre. Thank you, Tonchi said. He glanced down at her with large hypnotic green eyes rimmed with the same long black lashes as Andre, though Andre's eyes were washed out blue, as handsome as his brother. Anne's stomach, she hated that feeling and the shyness that followed. Anne tossed off her shoes, fled to the kitchen, and plunked the pumpkin on the counter. Anne heard the vampires, Andre and John, chatting as they moved into the lounge. They'll want coffee and animals, Demeter said. I'll make the coffee, but Andre can give them their snacks, Anne said. She measured Menendez Premium into the maker and turned it on. Poor chimps. The soldier who had carried the duffel bag, now discarded in the spare bedroom, peeked around the kitchen doorway. The animals are through there. Anne pointed to the door at the end of the galley. Demeter translated. People need coffee, please, my mistress, the soldier said, running the words together. And Demeter hooted with laughter and translated what he had said into Menendez. The young man looked abashed. He bowed his head. Sorry, Miss Turberville, the soldier said through Demeter's translation. Never mind. You tried. I appreciate it, Anne said. She opened the upper cupboard. Here's Andre's cups, pot, and tray. The vampire set up the tray and poured the finished coffee into the pot. Anne followed him into the lounge and stood by the door, curious to see this ceremony that made Andre wax nostalgic. The soldier placed the tray on a side table and poured. Andre picked up a cup and handed it to Tonchi with a bow. Tonchi narrowed his eyes at his brother. He sighed and took the cup in both hands and raised it up. We honor you, Lord Doragon, he said. John picked up a cup. Anne could see he was nervous yet excited, bowed and handed it to Andre. Andre took it and bowed back, his face filled with delight. Jennifer Curran gave John his coffee, her face a mask. The coffee passed around the room till everyone had received a cup except the serving soldier. He gave Anne an expectant look from the other side of the room. Oh, all right. Anne, give him his coffee, Andre said with a waving flap. Flapping wave, Andre said with a flapping wave. Anne wasn't sure what to do. Should she participate in this pagan ceremony? She remembered the words of St. Paul, that there was no problem for a Christian to eat food of pagan ceremonies, since it meant nothing. Amazing this had come up so many millennia ago. Anne crossed the room, picked up a cup, and handed it to the soldier. He bowed. With no one left to serve her, she turned and walked back towards the door, intending to return to the kitchen with her pumpkin. She knew better than to wait, humiliated. Tonchi appeared in front of her. He bowed and presented her with a cup. Nice guy to take pity on her. She took it from him. Her fingers touched, electric. How ridiculously hopeless was that feel? Anne held the cup awkwardly. Sorry to offend, Tonchi said through Demeter's translation. Never had a ceremony with humans. John's easy. Our mistake. We'll do better the next time. Please, drink. Anne sipped. They all relaxed into talk and laughter. Anne drank her coffee and listened to Emeter's translations. The conversation revolved around boring gossip about other unknown soldiers and nobility, or shop talk. Demeter let in more vampire soldiers with the humans they had picked up, and curious friends of John and Andre. John broke out the beer and whiskey. Tanchi, the general, the captain, and Andre had disappeared into the guest room. The serving soldier wheeled in a cage of chimpanzees, baboons, and gamos. Anne left. People lounged all over the kitchen. Squeaks, conversation, and laughter came from the animal room, where the other vampires fed. Anne nodded to the sales staff from Andre's import store in the mall. She shoved the pumpkin to the back of the counter for safety and fled to the peace of her bedroom. "Is the control room locked and out of bounds?" she asked Demeter. "Yes," Demeter said. "No parting for you?" "No. Turn on Tadarok." Anne thudded down on her bed to watch her favorite soap opera. Easier to observe fictional people than to deal with the unpredictable real ones. A mighty crash echoed through the ship. Screams and laughter flooded in from the lounge. Furious, Anne flew from her room to see what they had destroyed. The floor lamp lay shattered on the lounge carpet. A shivering baboon shrieked and bared its fangs from the top of the large flat screen. It had peed down the front. "Yaza!" Tanchi shouted from behind her. The soldiers snapped to attention. Everyone else felt silent. Tanchi strode over to the screen and stared up at the baboon that sat just above his head. "Whoosh, whoosh," he said. The baboon's head nodded. Its eyes closed, the animal flopped down into Tanchi's hands, sound asleep. He stroked its back, then, without warning, sank his fangs into its neck. His sucking haunted the side of the room. Tanchi gently laid the body in the full recycled bin. "Shriver," he said with a slight hiss. The soldiers relaxed and returned to their conversations. One of them righted the lamp and picked up the pieces of the broken glass shade. Another picked up the recycle bin and headed for the animal room. Tanchi walked up to Anne. "We'll give you another lamp," he said. "Thank you," she said. "This is getting out of control," John said to Andre, who had appeared at the doorway. "Time to go clubbing," Andre said. "Right." John raised his voice. "Everyone, we're heading for the Starlight Dance Palace. The den of sin and wickedness where we met." Andre smirked. "I'm tired. I'm staying here," Anne said. "How can you meet anyone if you never go out, John?" Anne shrugged. "I wish you to dance, Shira," the general said. "Please." Tanchi straightened. He narrowed his eyes. "Thank you. Sorry, Inherit. No." "Many pleases?" The general raised her eyebrows and smiled at him. "Thank you. No, sir." Tanchi stared straight. The general shrugged and turned to the serving soldier. "Private Curran, I wish you to dance?" "Yes, please, sir." The soldier grinned and offered his arm. The general took it and swept out of the ship. Tanchi sighed. He trudged to the guest room and banged the door closed behind him. Some history there. Everyone else poured out the airlock. Demeter closed the outer door. Anne surveyed the party mess. She pulled out the cleaner, set it to pick up spotless, and headed off to knit and watch the rest of her soap opera. Anne thought of the bedroom. Too many strangers around. She locked her bedroom door. A man screamed, threw Anne out of her sleep. Now what? She flew out of her room and found the ship empty. No one had returned from the starlight. Another scream rang out from the guest room. Anne rushed to the guest room door, almost pulling down the handle before she caught herself. All the stories rattled around in her head. Vampire soldiers fed on the March Mediter. Tanchi had murdered and fed on women and children, just the way he had fed on that poor baboon. She shook away the shiver that mother called someone stepping on your grave. Andre had pointed out many times that the vampires fed on animals, and Demeter had many tricks to prevent a man attacking her. As if to reassure her, flute music drifted through the door. "Everything okay?" she asked. "Okay." Tanchi opened the door. "J'ai repénan, Anne, de Can Turbaville, cover pénan." He noticed Anne's puzzle as she tried to translate his rapid speech. Andre spoke standard with John and her. "Ship, in her words. No menendek?" "Only a little," Anne said. "J'ai grip pa, ha, no.
David, shall I mean that?
I speak a little Spanish, Munchie said. Better, Marge. Despite what my brother says, if you decide to speak to me, it's Jagrit Pima, not Jagrit Pat. Definitely not Jagrit Genku Sunku. You should say Pinon Al Shalemba now. I disturbed your sleep. I'm sorry, Miss Turbida. It's okay. As for your greetings, it's hard for me to figure out. We don't have all that bowing and scraping here. Everyone's equal. Our leaders are democratically elected, and the same as everyone else. We also have democracy. It's courtesy and respect to use the proper dress. I'll try to remember. Following our custom, you can call me Anne, Captain Tonchi. Captain Pinon Shura. Miss Turbaville's only used for formal things, like the salutation on the wedding invitation. Makes me feel like 6 years old. Okay, Anne. Please call me Tonchi, my birth name then, if that makes you comfortable. He wore a white silk dressing gown with a quilted flock of odd triangular black and gray birds flying down the front panels. His black hair hung loose to his shoulders, crimped into waves from the queue. He held a flute in his hand. Anne struggled to find something appropriate to say after all this talk about manners. Those are nice abstract birds on your robe. They aren't abstract. That's how they look. Darts of Dorgon. They're raptors. Oh. And Redden better stupidity. That's like birds of prey. Tonchi stared at her neck, which had turned blotchy from her jaw to the neckline of her plain cotton pajamas. He glanced away. Yes, thank you for the compliment. My late wife made this robe for me. You had a nightmare?
Yes.
Do you have those dreams often? Once in a while. Looking into the room, Anne saw a group picture sitting on the low table Andre had installed instead of a desk. That a picture of your family? Anne couldn't bring herself to say, your dead family. Yes, Tonchi picked it up, then stepped outside the door to show it to her. They're all dead except Andre and my son, esteemed Excellency Kuang Meru. They aren't in the phone. I'm sorry. Anne stared at the smiling faces. The children tugged at her heart. Andre said you lost the little girl?
Anya.
Tonchi pointed her out. The others were my niece and nephews, by my sister. She's the one holding the baby. He touched the image of a gangly teenage boy. That was my son, Chen. You don't look old enough to have had a son that age. I don't understand. Anne supposed he could have married very young. That happened in some cultures. She saw tears hidden in his eyes. I'm upsetting you. I shouldn't have asked about them. It's fine. Everyone avoids talking to me about them. A nice change. Yeah, afraid you'll flip out or something. I remember from when my dad died. No one's back from the starlight yet. Would you like a cup of coffee? You might not get back to sleep. Thank you. My sleep's done for today. One moment. He replaced the picture, flicked the duvet across his low bed and tucked it in. Anne thought of her own made bed. They walked to the kitchen. Tonchi stared at the round cleaner stacking the dishwasher. He squatted down and examined the two arms, then the paws, placing the glasses in the machine. It has opposable thumbs, he said. I've never seen a robot before. It's the latest, Anne said. Vacuums or washes the floor as it picks up. Takes about an hour to set it up in the beginning. It wanders around while you tell it what goes where and stuff. It even does small repairs like changing light bulbs, putting a knob back or on lowered cupboards. It'll set the table, bring stuff to you. You didn't see it earlier because your soldier took over last night, and John likes to play bartender. You don't have them?
No,
he sighed. Once I had servants. On the Mephisto, the lower ranks look after those things. I've done my share of grunt work in my time, and I dress myself. Anne laughed. I should hope so. You'd be surprised, he said. Anne poured two mugs of coffee. We just drink it. You ever have a cup of coffee without ceremony?
Never.
Anne bowed as she gave him his mug. He took the other mug, gave it to her, and bowed back. I'm sorry again for the mess up, Tonchi said. You should be served after General Curran, not last. Oh, I thought I wasn't going to be served at all. Tonchi sucked in his breath. That would be unpardonable, especially since it happened to me. But you're the devil, the hero of Menendez. Tonchi shook his head. He sipped his coffee. Anne stumbled to fill the silence. So what's the story between you and the general?
Tanchi gave a rueful smile. You notice a lot. I used to captain your flagship. I had a breakdown for most of the year after the disaster and couldn't work. When I returned, she comforted me. One thing led to another. The affair only lasted a couple of months. We broke up a few weeks ago. He stared into his cup. She's always moved from man to man, and it's hard to compete with a ghost wife, especially since, as I said before, we never talk about her. Your dead wife's a ghost? A memory ghost. I only ever saw my family on leave. For 9 years, I never saw them at all. Even now, it seems like they're still alive. That home's waiting for me. Kukue was faithful to me, beyond reason. So to have an affair... He drew in his breath. Tanchi swallowed. You've experienced a death? My father died of a heart attack a few years ago. Anne's mixed feelings swirled for a moment. It was hard because he wasn't a nice man. I had a lot to forgive. Stent? Tanchi asked. No, wait. Humans die of many things. I forgot. He would say John staked his heart by being gay, Anne said. But I say it was the drink of the angry. He used to beat my mom, me, and John. John started weightlifting in secret. Dad started in on Mom, and John punched him across the room. The two of us left and joined the military. I've been a soldier. Like you vampires, I don't consider women in the military an abomination like the March do. The March have women? They keep them safely trapped behind the bat unfolds, poor souls. I trained as a spaceship mechanic. I can fix anything around a ship, except some of the more advanced computer programs. Dad died shortly after we got out of the military, and money loaned from Mom bought a stemmeter. Andre and John got together. After tomorrow, Andre owns a third of Demeter's debts. What a prize. Hey, I'm a good prize, Demeter said. This is a private conversation, Anne said. Never said so, the ship sounded petulant. Tanchi asked me to translate, if you remember. An interesting personality program, Tanchi said. You don't know the half of it. You want another coffee? Thank you. I'll have it in your control room if you don't mind. I have some skill with computers. Your ship's oddity reminds me that Andre asked me to look after a few of your bugs. Okay, baby, Demeter said. So basically, the worst problem is a problem with a wobble in my laser array. Quiet ship, Tanchi said. Demeter snorted, but she kept silent. Tanchi's eyebrows lifted when they entered the control room. Every available shelf and nook was covered with angels. Angels of marble, seraphim of cloth and feathers, alien angels, plaster cherubs with painted garlands of flowers, paper cherubs with fluffed wings, angel postcards, cherub holograms that flew around columns, a chorus of seraphim in an ancient mosaic. The ship likes angels, Anne said, and so do I. The ship likes angels, Tanchi said, sending in an odd look. These are the creatures the March scripture refers to. Don't look scary enough to blow their trumpets and destroy the March planet, though I would thank them for it. The Earth. All humans originally came from the planet Earth. We also have myths that we came from somewhere else. Tanchi spent a few minutes examining the angels, ending up mesmerized by a mechanized column wound with moving stairs. Isn't it great, Demeter said. John got me that. Tanchi ignored the ship. Anne sat down in one of the control chairs. Tanchi stood. He placed his palm on the computer pad. The ship runs best by voice control, Anne said. I'm a hands-on person. Tanchi read the figures and symbols dancing across the computer screen. What a useless thing to do when Demeter can just tell you, Anne thought. At least Andre's character poems looked pretty. She had never bothered picking up the skills of reading and writing. Sewing and knitting were the arts for her. Tanchi absently pulled out a music disc out of his pocket and shoved it into the correct slot. The exotic lilt of Menendek music wafted through the ship. Nice tunes, Demeter said. Quiet. Tanchi closed his eyes and concentrated. Anne became uneasy. No engineer worked like this. Hey, the ship shouted. Keep yourself to yourself. Leave me alone. Whoa! Tanchi stumbled back, knocking into the other control chair. A Kami! The ship's a Kami! It lives! I knew it. Anne slammed her hand on her armrest. I told Andre and John so.
not the superstitious female now. She's been alive since we passed through the strange crowd during the crossing. Anne hugged herself, voices praising God that only I could hear. I thought I was going crazy. Tanchi stared at the control panel. Demeter, I've invaded you. I didn't know. I wouldn't have done it. It's all right. I've never met a person that could become a machine before, Demeter said. You're a thrill. What are you talking about? Anne said. I can send my mind into machines and computers, Tanchi said. Like Andre makes things move. What? So he's kept it a secret that he's psychokinetic. You're a kid, Anne said. Well, that explains a few things around here. And they mock me when I read the cards or know when Mom's going to call. You're a seer, Tanchi said. We have them too. The Temple and Monastery of Crone, home of Abbess Lachesis, is the most famous. I'm not a seer, Anne said. Other than the cloud thing, I don't get visions or anything, just feelings, or something pops into my head. You need time threats, Tanchi said. That's what the religious use. Hey, what about me? Demeter said. You're going to tell Andre and John? Tanchi touched the computer pad. How beautiful is the soul of the machine. I can feel your soul, too. Come closer, Demeter said. You'll know all my secrets, Tanchi said. Like I don't already, the ship said. I don't blab when I'm told not to. Tanchi closed his eyes and placed both hands on the control panel. The ship filled with silence. Anne heard the coffee pot gurgle. Tanchi opened his eyes. He smiled and brushed his hands back and forth across the controls. Demeter purred. I should get to work fixing you. Tanchi closed his eyes again. I'll check the robot. Anne left the control room, her heart leaden. Even her ship could attract a man. What was wrong with her? The robot had cleaned the lounge, and the dishwasher rattled its cleaning tune in the kitchen. Anne rinsed her coffee cup, then spread a tea towel over the table. She pulled the pumpkin off the counter and banged it down on the cloth. You're going to brew? Tanchi asked from the doorway. I think he means cook. Demeter fixed her translation. You finished fast, Anne said. I could do the rest later. Tanchi moved up to the table. I'm carving a face on the pumpkin. Anne knocked the pumpkin and it thumped. Tanchi's finger rubbed the smooth orange side. I'm going to make a jack-o'-lantern. You carve a funny or scary face and put a candle in it. It's supposed to keep away the ghosts of Halloween, she leered at him, including vampires. Tanchi snorted. Maybe for vampires it'll keep the humans away. What's Halloween, a holy night for ancestors? Oh, no, Anne said. It's just for fun. Nothing to do with religion other than the next day's All Saints Day. Space Station Epsilon follows Northern Earth time. Not that you would know the change of seasons up here in space. When I was little on Ganymede, we would go door to door in our neighborhood, kids in costumes, some of the adults dressed in sheets and riding hobby horses. Kids got candy, the adults a drink. Most kids found out being night scary. My dad always managed to spoil the evening by getting drunk. It's the beginning of the long nights, like Samhain. It's next week in the Vendet time, I think. I have to get some moonflowers from the shop. Samhain, I had to leave him. Tanchi traced one of the coffee rings etched into the table. He bit his bottom. Here, help me crack the pumpkin. Anne hoped to distract him from his soul. She took out a large knife and carved round the top of the pumpkin, making lid. As soon as she lifted off the top, all the seeds and pulp stuck to the lid, turned into wet tendons and pulled taut. Time threads, Tanchi said. It looks like time threads, touched the pulp. Feels terrible. I'm a strong stone. Anne stuck her hand in the pumpkin, pulled out the clinging mess, then scooped out the insides with a spoon. She grinned and sketched a face with fangs in the pumpkin. Now you get to do some work. You can carve the face. Tanchi opened a pouch hanging from the belt of his dressing gown and pulled out a plain brown case. Little tools, pens, and brushes filled the box. Tanchi took out a small pointed knife and began to sculpt the eyes. Boom! An alcohol-fumed voice hissed in Anne's ear. She jumped. Geez, Andre, will you cut it out? I thought I was supposed to do that at Halloween. Andre pretended to pout, then smirked. I found where John hid my favorite thing. He held up a little cloth ghost on a string and touched a switch under the sheet. It wailed in high-pitched pain as he bounced it back and forth.
Anne and Tonchi winched. Jonas peered in the doorway. Andre waved the ghost and leered at him. John rolled his eyes. Tonchi reached out his hand and touched the ghost. It died with a strangled squeak. Andre flipped the switch, but the toy remained silent. "Hey," he said. "Isn't there some rule of Halloween that says you can't carve a pumpkin with a vampire?" John asked. "Finished." Tonchi slapped the pumpkin and rotated it. It added carved hair, two grays and a fringe swirling across the forehead and almost into the eyes, like it. "I deserve that for the pencil's fangs," Anne smirked at me. Tonchi smiled. His fangs showed, giving him a wolfish grin. It reminded Anne of the old saying, "Men are beasts, but with the proper care, they make good pets." "It's been a long time since I've seen your smile, elder brother." "Years," Andre said. Tonchi's smile died. Andre placed a hand on his arm. A smile's not a betrayal. Tonchi looked in dire need of a comforting hug and wished she could give it. The airlock swished open. Removed sandals banged in the hall. Drunken voices chatted and laughed. The general lurched into the kitchen and draped herself over Tonchi. He tensed to his attention and stared straight ahead over her shoulder. "Please, please don't leave me, Tonchi," she said. "I need you. Don't do this. It won't work. I was wrong." "You're drunk, sir," Tonchi said. "Watch what you say." "Getting drunk would do you good. I wish to go to your room." She planted a sloppy kiss on his cheek and fumbled with his belt. Tonchi removed her hand, tucked his arm around her and guided her away down the hall. The guest room door closed behind them. Anne stared at the jack-o'-lantern. He had made up with his lover. Tonchi and she had talked for what? 2 hours. What was wrong with her that she felt jilted?
Thank you very much for listening. If you absolutely can't wait until next week for the next installment of The Adventures of Tonchi, you can go over to our Patreon page and get a full copy of the book for $5. We also provide our audience with live video game content over on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/gamersillogical. We stream Tuesday and Thursday fairly regularly. It's been a bit of an adjustment with the kids' schooling, so we've been averaging just our family game night, but we try to do every Tuesday and Thursday. Currently, we're working on the Saints Row series on Tuesdays, and then we do some sort of family-friendly title on Thursday. This week, it will be on Wednesday because I have a... If you want to keep up to date with changes to the podcast, our Twitch channel, and we also have Facebook. Our Twitter is @GamersIllogical. Our Facebook is /GamersIllogical. And I hope to see y'all next week. Take care and good health. Bye-bye now.